Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace. What up, family? We back in the building. This is Kyle Kev, a.k.a. Brother Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Hotep, assalamu alaikum. I'm Bobby Ganyi. Mufasa.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, y'all. We back again, family. Thanks for joining us another week. You know, we made it 2020. This is what they call Pi Day. Pi 3.14 is also St. Louis Day. So shout out to everybody celebrating Pi Day and 314 Day and all that good stuff. But we here. It's the middle of March.
Happy 314 Day.
Collective Minds is back. Yes, indeed. Collective Minds is back. This is not a spectator sport. Hit us up, and hopefully we can start constructive dialogue with the family. And, you know, we got a good discussion lined up today. But before we get started, Queen Rigel, how was your week? And do you have any announcements for us?
My week was great. No announcements, though. I'll leave that up to you guys.
All right. Yes, indeed. My brother Mufasa Ra, how was your week, my brother? And do you got any announcements for us?
Hey, good week, man. All's well. And my only announcement is to, you know, beg you back off what you started out with Happy 314 Day to all my St. Louis and East St. Louis folks. I mean, I saw people out today barbecuing and cooking up tripe sandwiches and wearing red hot Ripley T-shirts and best soda attire. Anything. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised,
right.
I ain't seen nobody walking around in a box of fried rice. You know, with a fried
rice
outfit on. Well, anything hoodish you could think of. The St. Louis
Emo's
is going down today. Yeah. So
yes,
happy 314 to all the my hood people.
yes, indeed. So we here, fam. This is Collective Minds Radio. I don't have any announcements. We can get right into the show. This week we're going to do an open discussion. So we got a lot of stuff on the table. You know, a few things that didn't happen this past week that kind of made the news. Number one, I don't know if we talked about this last week, but talk about To America drop. I think we did talk about that last week because it dropped last Friday. So check out last week's show to, you know, get our take on the second Coming to America. But just a rundown of a few things that kind of happened. You know, that made the news this week, and then we'll go in for a minute, and then we'll get to the call lines as well. So hit us up, 929-477-1697. One of the big things that happened this week was the Meghan Markle and Prince Harry interview that they did with Oprah. And, you know, it was basically them just, you know, kind of going in on how, you know, she's experiencing racism from the family, from the press, and they've said some things about the little baby, little Archie, talking about they don't know how dark he gonna be and whatnot. So it was a lot of things going on that made big news. And then the the quote-unquote queen had to come out and, you know, come out and say, of course, no, there's no racism in our family and this and that. But that was an interesting dynamic. So I want to ask y'all, did y'all get to see the interview? And what did y'all think of that whole thing? Like, is Megan just whining or is she, you know, on to something? You know what I mean? Like, what y'all think about the whole thing? And it's just, okay.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see it. I did miss it. I was trying to find it, but I don't think they have it released yet, at least not from what my research showed me. But just to hear someone say, okay, I'm experiencing racism, I mean, who's going to doubt that? I mean, more than likely. You know, even Princess Diana, she spoke of it. On the surface as well. She talked about some of her experiences and it kind of sounds similar to what his wife is going through as well. But, I mean, I would not say I'm pretty sure she's just whining. No, my first initial thought is to say, yeah, I'm sure there is. And I'm sure they, you know, are treating her a certain way. And I'm sure she's experiencing it. Now, if I get more into the details, perhaps that would change. I doubt it. But I'm just leaving it open to say, you know, it could be something else. But I just doubt that it's something else, you know. So I just believe her. Just because of the, you know, the stuff that we deal with, you know, I believe her.
Okay. All right. Brother Mufasa, did you get a chance to check out the interview or did you have any thoughts on anything or talk?
Yeah, I'll be 100. I did not check out the interview. I didn't find that myself. When it comes, let's see, now she is what, the Princess of England or something like that?
I think they call her like a duchess or something, you know what I'm saying? But they was within the family until they got quote unquote kicked out from what they say. Relieved of their duties, you know what I'm saying? They got relieved of their monarchy duties or whatnot. So,
and what was the purpose? What was the reason them didn't get relieved? Is it just because the family didn't approve of their marriage or some other stuff?
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, you know, from what I've been kind of looking at, and I've been kind of, you know, vaguely following it just to keep up with stuff, because I think it's quite funny myself. But they got kicked out because the way she was being treated over there, and she wanted to come back and relocate to the state, I guess be close to the family, and she didn't want to relocate over there. And with that being said, and then them having a kid and all that, it was just a bunch of stuff that kind of accumulated to her getting kicked out. I still just think it's just because she was black. I mean, I think they came up with other excuses like, oh, she wasn't doing this or she wasn't following protocol when you meet somebody and, you know, bowing and sashaying and all this other stuff that they was coming up with. But me personally, I just think it's because she has a black lineage. You know, her mother is black.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I don't know much about is she straight black? I guess the daddy black, mama black. What's the deal?
No. Yeah, exactly. So her mama is black. Her mama is, from what I can tell, she looks, you know, black, two black parents. Her dad is white. Right.
Oh, man.
Megan,
you shouldn't have told me that.
Is white. Yeah, her dad
you
is white.
You shouldn't have told me
that's,
that. Because y'all know what I'm going to say.
Comes out and speak. Yeah.
I'm going to say if her daddy white, she white. So that's how I'm going to look at it. She got a little piece of black in her, but she's white. So
right.
That's
right.
White folk business, and Brother Mufasa is going to bag out of it.
Right.
I know when we first, when they first was married, I had trouble accepting her as a black woman myself. I was like, what? But her mom,
right. Okay,
you put her mom in there and all that, okay, whatever. Her mom is black. I can accept her mom is black. She was black. I think she is black. But before I saw anything and just saw her, Megan, I'm like, why are they? I'm like, what do they mean? You know, I didn't initially want to accept her. I had to,
right,
you know, get the other information about her mother and all that before I'm like, okay. But, yeah.
So look, So that begs the question. That leads to this. And maybe we can do an entire show on this, but I do want to ask y'all and ask the guests, do we agree with the one drop rule? Because I heard a speech from the elder John Henry Clark, and he was talking about, you know, how the European came up with the one drop rule. If you had one drop of black, you was considered black. But does that benefit black people? You know what I'm saying? Is that good for us? Should we just accept someone who has one black parent, but the other parent may be something else? Are those people black? Like, should we follow that rule? Like, we don't have to agree with that. But that's something to put on the table. But I do want to hear what y'all think. Do y'all accept the one drop rule when it comes to people black?
I don't. I'm picky. So even some black folks, I don't want to call them black. But so I'm a little picky. So I'm okay to say, yeah, I don't really have to follow that rule. Consciously and subconsciously, both, I don't follow the rule. I do hear people talk about it.
Right, so do you just go mostly on appearance, or do you go by, is the dad black or the mama black, or which parent is black, or how do you break that down, or is it just by appearance, by how they look?
Well, I'm not going to lie, it's appearance as well as, you know, culture too. You know, I can kind of judge the culture.
I'm hearing a lot of
background.
That in there. Background.
Yeah, I can, and it may sound crazy, you know, and a little, I guess, off the mark to most people who want to just keep it straight and logistical about, oh, the genes, this and then that. Okay, I'm gonna be honest. I ain't talking about the genes or none of that. But I'm going off how they look and their culture, how they was raised as well, to a degree, not as much.
Right. So what break down the percentage?
It's not as much.
You say what's the percentage? 50% how they look, 50 culture, or 55, or 60-30? What?
Nah. If just off the top of my head right now, I would say it will probably be maybe 75% appearance.
How they look, appearance.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
25% culture.
Right. The rest, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I can give it to the culture.
Okay. And what about you, Brother Mufasa? Do you subscribe to the one drop rule, or do you go by parent? Which parent is black, or how do you break that down?
Yeah, can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear.
All right.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. For me, I got to know what your dad is. Now, you know, we can do this scientifically at some point. I say you are what your seed, meaning you know where you came from. The father, the male, drops the seed. So if the daddy is black, you black. So we got to prove what your dad is. The mother, and this is going to be controversial, the mama is the incubator. Of course, she pumping in some genes, you know, of course, too. But you started, in my opinion, you started from your daddy's loins. So what your dad is, that's what you is. Daddy
okay.
Black, you black.
He's like, okay. All right, fair enough. Yeah, we might have to dig into that, you know, get out a full show, because that is an interesting dynamic. You know, that's interesting. So you say it don't is mo is just what your daddy is, so you don't even trip off looks or nothing like that, or you know.
No, because black people can look a lot of different ways. You know, we got
that is true.
Albinos,
you can have a black dad. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I say the proof gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. You still could be a little light looking or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The look can be deceiving at times. That's why I say it can be hard because, like I say, first we got to say, okay, who your dad? Let's look at your daddy. Then we look at him, we got to break down who put you together. Where did you come from? What's your experience? You know what I'm saying? So it can be tricky.
It is.
It can be tricky.
Exactly. So, yeah, that was just interesting. I found the story interesting. But like Mufasa said, it really ain't no, you know, no big deal for real. It's just something to see and observe, but it's quite funny though. You know what I'm saying? It's just to see the whole thing. And then also now I don't know if y'all seen this, but so Piers Morgan, who's the reporter from Britain, he ended up walking off one of the shows behind some comments he made about Meghan Markle. But what was interesting, I saw a clip of one of these daytime talk shows with Cheryl Underwood and Sharon Osbourne. Now, Sharon Osbourne is the I think she's from Britain and she was married to Ozzy Osbourne, but she was defending Piers Morgan, and her and Cheryl Underwood was kind of going back and forth. And it was kind of interesting to hear her talk, and she was like, you know, Cheryl, if I'm being racist or saying something racist, I'm going to need you to educate me. You know what I'm saying? Like, as if they need to be educated on racism. It's like, that is one of the biggest con games when you have people, you know, that you have people from the dominant society talking about, we need black people to educate us on racism. We just didn't know. We don't know. You got to teach us. And like, it's like, no. You guys invented the system. You know exactly what's going on. So part of the trick is to play dumb when a black person brings up, you know what I'm saying, racism or whatnot, or mistreatment. It's like, y'all the experts. So how can any black person teach any white person anything about racism? I just don't buy that at all, and I think that's a straight con game. But it was interesting to see Sharon Osbourne, Cheryl Underwood go at it. And Cheryl Underwood was trying to be, you know, toe the line and be careful with her words and whatnot. But if y'all can find that clip, that'd be interesting. One of them little daytime talk shows, that it was a clip floating around online that I saw with them two going back and forth. That was pretty good. But I digress.
Yeah,
and then
I
one last
that,
thing.
Quick on it though, but I did notice that was floating around.
Yeah. You saw it. Yeah, that was floating around. But that was good. I mean, Cheryl kind of handled herself well, considering the circumstances and whatnot. Because I think Sharon Osbourne was just waiting to play victim. You know what I'm saying? She wanted to just break down and play victim and act like Cheryl attacked her or whatnot, but Cheryl, she kind of kept it cool and didn't give her, she didn't take the bait, shall I say. You know what I'm saying? She didn't take the bait, but that was interesting. Also this week, the jury selection for the officer that killed George Floyd has started this past week. That was interesting. It's like, I'm so hip to the game. Like I say, I don't really pay attention to these police killings and shootings no more. But this one was a big one, and now they're doing a jury selection. So it's going to be one of those things where they get people emotions riled up, and, you know, they go give him a life sentence or find him not guilty, you know, right around the summertime or in the summer, so they can have mugs out in the streets and you can start the whole, you know, Black Lives Matter protests and all this back and forth. So they just setting it up for that. You know, they just priming the people, getting them ready, because the fix is in with the jury. You know, for those, if you didn't see it, the fix is in. I think they got either all or half of the jury selected already. And these folks, yeah, the fix is in. So this, you know, this dude might get off, or he might just get a slap on the wrist. So, you know, just prepare your mind. Don't be shocked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was coming.
You
so,
know, you know, I always got to ask the question. What are the charges?
Right. Now, I think the charge on this, they said the judge gave allowed them to use a charge of, I want to say, third-degree murder.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Now, you maybe could break that down. Now, is third degree, is that like manslaughter or?
Well, the only thing is it's different from state to state, so I don't want to, you know, give out something and not be factual.
Right, exactly. We do want to be factual. So now I'm looking up the article from TwinCities.com. So we do want to be factual here, you know what I'm saying, at Collective Minds. It says first week of – hold on one second. But it says the judge reinstated the third-degree murder charge in the Derek Chauvin's trial.
Third degree. Okay.
So now we just got to see. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what third degree is in that state. Now, I think that's a wise thing to do. Trying to prove them first and seconds is always hard to do. With third degree and
right.
manslaughter, you stand a chance. You know, so they might can slap, give him a slap on the wrist. He might get something. And, you know, even though it might not be as much as you want,
yeah,
but something is better
exactly.
than nothing. You know. Also,
yeah.
How did y'all feel about the civil suit? I think they got $27 million.
Right, his family got $27 million. Right, I saw that.
I think that's fair.
Nah, I mean, I don't think any amount of money, but you know, for your loved one and whatnot. But if you're gonna be compensated, I think that was, you know, that was good. You know, that was a little something for how the situation was handled. So they could have got more, but I think that 27 was a start. You feel me?
Helps to ease the pain.
Yeah, a little something. Yeah. So
I mean, that's enough for him. If that money's handled right, then that money sets up his whole family, especially his children. That should be enough to set up his children's children. You know, so
yeah, sure. He'll go out as a martyr. Right.
Now,
definitely
with that being said, would any one of y'all take the bullet like that if you knowingly knew it would set your family up for generations? Would y'all willingly take a bullet, take the death? Would y'all, you know what I'm saying? If you willingly knew, if I go out right now, my family is going to gain billions, would you do it?
I don't know.
Personally,
I mean, it's on different circumstances.
Right. I definitely wouldn't want to be. I was about to say, yeah, something like that. Like, I definitely don't want to be killed by no cop to get it. No.
Yeah.
So, that would be a no for me.
Certain things just not worth the bag. You know, depends on what
right.
you're, you know, what you idolize the most. And then you got to look at it, too. Are the family members that you're trying to die for, are they worth it? Are they going to mess the money up a year after you done died for them? You know? And, I mean, I think that's just a lot of stuff to take into consideration before you just be like, kill me. Kill me
right,
for the
right.
money. So that's my take.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's a third degree in the state of Minnesota, carries up to 25 years in prison, a minimum of four. So that's interesting. A minimum of four. And they also charged the one brother, Muhammad Nuor, that killed the white woman in the same state in Minnesota. He was charged with a third-degree murder as well. Yeah, third-degree murder charge as well.
Yeah, he got 12 years, right?
Right. Yep. And he got like 12 years. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I think, again, I think he's going to get slapped on the wrist if he even goes to prison. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he was to get off on this. Just to kind of get, you know, get people emotions riled up and get the ratings back up. Because you know they say the ratings on the news have been kind of down since your boy Trump out of office. So they're looking to get some ratings back.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so. And Biden been stumbling and bumbling ever since he took office.
Yes.
What a I ain't even gonna waste my energy on that fool. All I want to say is this to everybody who voted for him, and I just want y'all to know it's exactly like I said. My damn gas prices right now is $2.75. I ain't happy. Gas was low the whole time Trump was in office, around that 210-ish, 215-ish mark. Highest was 220. We at 275. That don't help me. That don't help me as a black man out here trying to work, make it back and forth to work and get out here in these streets. That's hurting my pocket. You know what I'm saying? And I knew that was going to happen. He came in, gas and
food,
and it's probably going to get even higher.
But hold up, Moneybag Joe then dropped off them stimulus checks. What you talking about, man? Moneybag Joe.
Anybody got theirs yet?
I heard a few people, you know, some people got theirs from what I've been hearing.
I ain't seen no money yet. Well, check this out. So, if for my stimulus check that he give me, though, I got to save it for gas.
Yeah.
He gave me a stimulus check and took my gas up to $3 an hour, $3 a gallon.
Right.
I got to roll out here.
Yes,
and he's just doing that to top it off his big brother Trump.
Uncle Joe, he ain't no uncle to me, boy. I can't stand him. He's a retard.
It's amazing how you can feel it in the air that folks got their stimulus check. It's like people just out. I seen somebody with stuff all on the top of their car. They out spending money.
Yeah.
Around and pay $10 for an orange right now. So they think they just bought. Just money.
Right, and it's spring too. So yeah, the money about to hit the streets. Like I said, when these Democrats come in office, it's about to be a lot of drugs on the streets and a lot of cash money. And so it can get wicked.
I know they're giving Biden a lot of heat now about the border. What y'all think about that? I thought that was real funny how now they're complaining about Biden, talking about he lifted up some of the, I guess Trump had some orders in place down there where they couldn't just come in. So Biden released that. Now they like so many people coming over and they talking about Trump had it on lock now. Biden got up. Now they mad at him. You guys hear about that?
Right. Yeah, I did hear about that. Because Biden, what he did was he loosened up all those immigration policies And for some reason, they want all these immigrants from, you know, South America, Central America, Mexico to come into this country. And with that happening, they saying the detention facilities are getting filled up by like 700%, you know, according to some reports.
Yes.
And ICE is getting overwhelmed because there's thousands of them. Right.
Yeah, some had it where they couldn't come here. They had to stay in their country and wait before they can come over, enter in the right way. But by and large, forget it. Come on over and just wait. You know,
come
on over.
And truth be told, that's really, to be honest, that's really to undermine Black Americans right here. Because when these immigrants come over here, what do? They set up shop by us. They come into Black neighborhoods, into the urban centers, and kind of move around and set up their little businesses and their little enclaves and little communities within our neighborhood. They don't go out. Yeah, they don't go out where shop and those different areas. They come, like I say, to the city centers, and they set up their I mean, you look at the south side of St. Louis, you got Mexican communities, you got Bosnian communities, you even have African, Ethiopian, Nigerian communities, all in these places where, you know, where it was predominantly Black Americans and whatnot. That's still happening, but like I say, his move to bring all them immigrants in is a direct shot at Black Americans, in my opinion, from what I see, you know. So we'll see how this thing plays out. You know what I mean?
Hey,
but yeah, family.
Before y'all go to the calls, I did want to drop one more thing on you because talking about money made me think about it. You know, I sent my co-host here the information. I wanted to know how y'all felt about in the NFL, the top five highest paid quarterbacks. The top four are all Black. That's unprecedented. The number one highest paid quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, $45 million a year. Number two, Dak Prescott, $40 million a year. Not $40 million a year, I'm sorry. Wait a minute, hold on. That is the average salary. I'm checking. Yeah, it's per year. Yeah, I'm right. Deshaun Watson averaging $39 million a year. Russell Wilson, $35 million a year. And number five, Aaron Rodgers, $33.5 million a year. So, I mean, how y'all feel about that? That's unheard of to have. Not only do we got so many Black quarterbacks playing now, but the top four highest paid balling. If they just know what to do with that bread. But how y'all feel about that though?
I mean, individually, I mean, kudos to those guys. That's great, you know. But overall, the bigger scheme of things is just for Black people. And finally, we can say, okay, this is the first time that this has happened in year 2021. That speaks volumes to the history and the corruption. So, I mean, if you just want to individualize and say, okay, great job, guys. You did it, and you want to be proud that they accomplished something, that's one thing. But the overall big scheme of things, I'm not that impressed because it's still just four Black people. And to say that they're the first four top playing or paid, and since we're in year 2021, I think that's ridiculous. How long football been going on, and now we just now getting to four people? That ain't nothing impressive to me, so whatever.
Now, I'll tell y'all this.
Right.
This is what impresses me. Oh, but go ahead, Brother K. I just want to say one more thing.
I'm going to make it real quick because, like Roger said, it's cool on individuals. But Mahomes and Dak Prescott, they probably going to be transferred. Keep it real. Now, as far as Deshaun, I don't know his situation, and we know Russell Wilson is with Sierra. But in the big scheme of things, that really does nothing for Black people. Oh, I mean, you know, it's good to see them brothers get that, you know what I'm saying, hey on that. But the top two, they about give that money right to their white kids who's going to transfer it back to the white community. So, yeah, it don't really mean too much for real. But, you know, kudos
right
to them for getting that bag.
I'll add this, just because we know Russell Wilson, like you said, is with Ciara. They both black children. Deshaun, I believe, is definitely from a black family. So Deshaun, that's my cat, dude. I like Deshaun Watson. He's a good kid, head on his shoulders. But the potential, and what I wanted to bring this up is to show why educating these young men is so important. Because if you think about the chances or the opportunity that if you got these four brothers, right, and we just talking about these four, we ain't talking about the NFL as a whole, because there's some stories now, some brothers making some moves. I'm really proud of that, like Cam Newton, but that's for another day. But the opportunity that's available, if just these four brothers could say, hey, look, let's come together and do something for the black community. They averaging a year, you know, about $200 million. You know what I'm saying? So with the right mindset, that type of income could really benefit your community. You know what I'm saying? Could benefit our community. So I just wanted to shed light on that, and that it's always good to continue to teach our youth, you know, about giving back to the community, about having self-awareness of who you are, and having a love for your people, because you never know you never know what type of opportunity this young man may have in his future. And here he is now, we got four brothers that between the four of them, they bringing in almost $200 million a year. Man, if they had the right mindset, what they could come together and do with that income, my God. So, not saying they're going to do it, but I'm just saying what they could do. That's a beautiful thought.
Right. Yeah, it's just a thought, because we know, like, just to keep it real, you know, they groom those guys. And then they work for a corporation. And you know, people might not believe this, but I don't think the NFL, there's no interest in fixing the black community for them. Like, there's restrictions. These people have contract obligations, they obligated to different corporations and these different entities. There's a reason they're not going to allow them to do too much strictly for black people. So we just got to keep it real on that front. That is not in their best interest. They like these boys to come from single parent homes, you know, grandma raising them, mama raising them, and they isolate them and get them on this path. And it's just football, football, football. Don't focus on social issues. Don't worry about none of that. Just run the ball. And a lot of them are groomed up that way, you know, from little league to high school to college. And that's just what it is. So, you know, we can make those moves and try to educate these brothers. But at some point, if it becomes too effective and you really start to help the black community, they're going to
try
to put a hold to it, in my opinion. It'll be a problem, put it like that.
It'll be a problem,
in my opinion. Because they got contracts.
Well, we ain't scared of boogeyman.
And people would have been dead. People would have been
dead.
Boogeyman.
Apparently they might be if they took that mindset, like you know, you just painted that very beautiful story. That's a beautiful thing, but they ain't done
it.
Sounds, you know,
yeah.
We gotta see. We have to
well,
see
some,
if they will.
Some have.
Some have.
That's why I say it is some that have. So, you know, the opportunity is there. You know, we just have to continue to push forward in the right direction.
The song that you're speaking of, like, what type of impact? Like, is it the same type of impact that you were saying if these guys with all their money was to come together, how you calculated all four of their money? Was it the same impact with the ones that have? Because Brother Kevin's statement was if they was to make a significant impact in the community, then it would be a problem. But if you just got some people that got some black athletes or even just rich black people And for whatever reason, they're just giving back to the community. If they not, if they don't have a big enough impact, then ain't nobody tripping off of them. But what you want to get to, I think, and I'm pretty sure I'm right, and like most folks want to get to a big enough impact where we can see a social change within the community. We want a big enough impact where we can see the impact. It's we actually affected by the impact and what they're doing. So their money, you saying if they was to do something with what they have, they can make a significant impact within the community. I think those are the threats. Just somebody just out here, you know, doing the turkey drive, you know, once a year, maybe open up a little football field for the kids in one community or whatever. Those type of little things, they're not saying that they're not good, but the significant or the impact that it has is not as big. It's not as a threat. It's like if you have an earthquake, how they scale them, you may have them, you know, on the Richter scale, you may have a small one. It's there if something happens, but it's not. This is like we have earthquakes all the time on a small scale. They don't even get media because it's a small impact. So if they doing things like that on the Richter scale, it's a small impact, and that's not seen as a threat. Ain't nobody really tripping off of it. But let them do something that's major. What's the highest Richter scale? 8.10.
So this ties in with one of my points. This ties in with my point. And so what would you like to see? Let's just say these four brothers here. What type of move would you like to see them make that would give that type of impact that you're talking about?
Well, I know one thing that you had mentioned before a lot of times, and what FERCOM is trying to obtain land, maybe they can get a bunch of land, you know, and build something on that for the community. Maybe they can start with that way of thinking. You know, if they got the money to purchase the land and all that, I think that would be a significant thing.
Yeah,
that would create
right. Right.
So
no,
that
go ahead.
Said,
I didn't want to cut you off.
So with that, and that's just one thing, because I'm sure y'all could think of some other things. But with that being said, that's why I was saying how important it is to teach our youth, because you don't know what type of situation that they might grow up and get involved in. And if they have the right type of upbringing and have the right type of mindset, they'll know I want to be a part of community building. So let me reach out to, you know, X player or Z player who got this money, so we can put our money into purchasing some land so that we could put, you know, whatever be, you know, together, put a package together that's going to be impactful to our community or to strictly black people. So that's, you know, that's what I'm saying. We got to continue to teach our youth the importance of knowledge itself and having that type of mindset to do those things. That way when they get in position, they can act on it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you. But
so that's
why
I said that ties into the point that I'm bringing. That I want to
no, no,
know,
no. But that's not realistic. The only way we're going to do that is if you're independent. The NFL is not going to allow you to have a program that specifically helps black people. This is what I'm saying. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to include everyone. They're not going to fund you with a program that's going to exclusively help black people, even though we exclusively need the help to a certain degree. But they're not going to roll with that. These people are under contracts, and they have to abide by what the league say. And the league can blackball you. The league can cut you. It's all type of things if they see you trying to move in that direction that they can do to get you out the league.
But here's the budget.
Now, the only way we're going to do that is if you're independent where you don't need them, like a Master P. Did y'all hear that Master P is trying to buy a HBCU?
He's trying to buy
a
HBCU.
He's trying
that's
to
right.
buy.
And that's
all
you're
going to say.
That's
what,
like,
that,
that's
the what
budget
you need to do. But Master P is not.
You got four brothers.
He don't
who got
need
guaranteed
them.
Money. That's guaranteed money. Listen, that's guaranteed money. So
They could cut them, but they still got to give them that guaranteed money. So at this point, it's signed on the dotted line. You have to give me what you owe me. You might not give me no more, but you got to give me this guaranteed bread. My contract guarantees.
Right, and you also have to abide by that contract.
So now,
right.
So now
you
with,
buy
that,
by the
with that mentality,
too.
So if I come in with that right mindset and you have to break me off, you have to pay me. You know what I'm saying? Well, however much guaranteed money is in my contract, you have to pay me that regardless because it's guaranteed money. So once you pay me that guaranteed money, now I can reach out to Master P and be like, you know what? Hey, that's what I'm on. Let me help Master P.
No, you cannot because it's not in your contract. That's not in your contract.
That don't
you cannot
you
do
can't
that.
Write that in my contract that I can't do that. I can do whatever I want to do with my money.
Yes,
that's my
can.
Guaranteed money.
No, you cannot.
No, they can't.
Cannot.
You can't.
Yes, they can,
cannot write
bro.
In your
they
contract
can.
That you cannot spend your money
what?
To help purchase
yes,
the HBCU. That's not a fact.
They can't. It won't be specifically like that, but it's in the contract what they can do with that bread.
No.
Bro, otherwise Muggs would have been did it. So why ain't nobody did it? Why ain't nobody got with the pop? Why ain't nobody got with Dr. Claude Anderson or your Boyce Watkins or somebody, these financial advisors? Why they ain't bought
no
black town? Why they ain't bought no land? Why they ain't bought no land and started a black town? Why?
You know why? This is one of the biggest reasons why. It's because of, the, like
right.
I said, the mindset of our people. A lot of these brothers get up there and be like, shit, I had to do all this shit myself. I had to do all this myself to get here. So they get an attitude of a me, my, me, and they forget about their people. Then you have other situations where brothers do try to do something, but they own people take advantage of them. So that's why I said
so then
it's a mindset amongst us. We can do whatever we want to do if we have our mind right. If our mind ain't right, we ain't going to move how we need to move. So them brothers, yeah, just like
right.
the four brothers we talked about, if they mind was on nation building like it's supposed to be, they can
then
make
they
it work. Just like if
football.
Me and you right now, me and you had that money. If me and you had that money, ain't nothing going to stop us from doing what we want to do.
Yes, it will. Football will. Football, practice, our obligations to the team. That would stop you from doing it. If we had that mindset, we wouldn't be playing football. We wouldn't be, you know what I'm saying? It's like you can't really have both. Like you can
yes,
do certain
yes,
things,
you
like
can.
You said, but.
It's a certain image. It's a certain
no,
image.
Because,
it's like we had the discussion with Kaepernick. It's a certain image that you have to abide by when you're with the NFL.
Hey.
It's like if I work at the post office.
Exactly.
When I get off work, I'm supposed to take my uniform off before I go anywhere. I can't. You really technically not
yeah, you
supposed
can't go to the bar and
go
all
to
yeah,
a
you can't be out with
you can't be supposed to go straight home because
so
it's
how
certain,
do you think? Look,
it's,
how do you think I got you to understand though?
Let's
y'all
check
think
this out.
That
no,
just
now look
because
at you.
These cats made this money, that now their life is indebted to. The NFL. A lot of these players' average career is 4 to 6 years. So
right.
once I done made my guaranteed money and I'm out the league, a lot of these cats ain't even hit 30 yet. Some of them out there, they
right.
definitely ain't 40. You got all that time to handle your business. The NFL can't control you. You out the league. The NFL can't control you. But what these dudes do is they don't have the mindset to handle their business. They be doing other stuff.
Right, and they don't have a football upbringing. Yeah, but that's based on them being groomed and conditioned by the league. By trying to get to that high level profession,
see what I'm saying?
You have to be
now,
groomed mentally.
Yeah, because we
that's what I'm
group.
Trying to tell y'all. That's what I'm saying. You have to groom him, and you have to change the mindset. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, this is what
you know
right,
what I'm saying.
We have to change our
mindset.
If you're a disruptor, if you are a disruptor, they're not going to give you that kind of money.
If you are a
right.
disruptor,
we've seen
mentally,
this,
meaning you have
we've seen
knowledge
what happened
yourself,
with Kaepernick
as a
when
black
he
man,
stands
they're
up.
Not going to give you that money. Right.
Kaepernick.
Kaepernick just did.
Kaepernick.
And he only kneeled. Well, I'm using
they
him. The reason why I'm
too.
Using him as an example because when he was trying to even go in that direction, you see what they did with him. They shut him down. He was under contract too for a minute, but then he didn't get picked up. So they do little things that is going to prevent
I get what you're
you
saying, but
from
these,
doing.
Yeah.
So what about all the people that kept
saying,
riding?
Like who?
You know how many other players kept kneeling, kept speaking out, kept voicing their opinion? That's because
yeah,
Kaepernick was silent.
That.
They did not. A lot of people kept the momentum going.
I didn't
right.
see it.
A lot
no,
of
it wasn't that big
riding.
Of an impact. It wasn't that big of an impact where it spread it outside to someone like me that don't watch football. Kaepernick, I don't watch football, but I heard about his situation. So whomever continued to do it, it was a small enough, it wasn't a big enough threat. It was small enough where only the most people who watch football was aware of that because I wasn't aware of the other players. I remember you mentioning it before. So you seen them, but you into football.
Right.
But what about the people like me that's not into football? Well, what Kaepernick did expounded outside of just the regular people that just watch football. It expounded
yes.
experience. Okay. Expounded to me, who a person like me who don't even watch football.
And so because everybody was so busy worried about the big name, because everybody was so busy worried about big name Kaepernick, all the other stuff that smaller people was trying to do, put together, and did do got overlooked. Not just by mainstream white media, but by black people as well, because we following the big name. We're not doing our due diligence to seek
okay.
out the smaller people who still riding and still trying to make a difference because there were smaller people trying to make a difference. He wasn't
okay.
this movement was not just Colin Kaepernick. It was a lot of people that
right,
was
right.
riding and still riding. You know, for that
so
but
he was
it don't
a bigger name
like
is what you're saying.
Yeah, because he kicked it off. That's all he did was kicked it off. He just shed the light. He opened the door. that was it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I mean,
right.
you know, I'll make sure I do my research, and I want to bring that information up throughout the next couple of weeks of what of the other things that other players have done to make a difference too. Because you're right. I mean, a lot of light has not been shed on those players, the things that they did and what they stood for. They just got overlooked because everybody
right.
want to keep focusing on. Colin. You know what I'm saying?
But
right,
could
right.
it also be too though that the impact wasn't as big. It wasn't that big of a threat. So on both ends, the NFL, their organization didn't even trip so much off of them where they didn't even get penalized or nothing like that. Everybody looked over on both ends because the magnitude of what they were doing, not really trying to say that it wasn't, you know, that it was small like that, but to a degree I'm saying it was small, maybe the impact. Maybe they reached out to a few organizations or whatever, you know, in small towns or a little town or a place in Chicago. Maybe they gave some book bags away or something like that. I'm saying what were they doing? You know, how significant was their work? That, to me, I think that's the point that I'm trying to make because I think that makes a difference. So, because the other guys that you're talking about, now let me ask you this, Mufasa, the ones that still, okay, now the ones that stood kneeled, the ones that kneeled, were they still getting TV time and things like that? Were the cameras still showing them kneeling and all that? Because I wasn't watching.
Some of them, yeah. But the NFL started getting smart about that and taking, you know, the camera shots off of that stuff because they knew it wasn't nothing but a distraction. And I used to say that all along, like, guys could see a deal and all that, but if the cameras would stop, you know, putting the camera shot on them,
all this stuff that went on outside them, so people wouldn't even have known. People still been enjoying
right.
NFL. People still been doing their little meal, whatever they want to do, and it wouldn't have been such a big
right.
deal. But it's just like how the media do for a police shooting. They be like, ooh, that's sorry, ooh, and they take that and run with it. That's what they did with Colin. Kaepernick kneeled.
Right.
The cameraman was like, hey, you know, what was that all about? And he answered the question, and when he answered it, they was like, oh, this is great news. And they took it and blew it up. They blew it up. After
right.
they blew it up and made
right.
and got their stories out of it, they was on to the next thing. And it fizzled out, even though other players were still kneeling. A lot of stuff was still going on in the NFL behind that, but media was like, we on to something else now. They do that with other things.
Yeah.
That happen.
Some play. I mean, it caused a really a leak that some people were still kneeling, but then you also had owners come out like Jerry Jones, like, nobody on my team is kneeling. And then they came out and did the little ceremonial kneel and whatnot before the thing. So it was a lot going on, and it caused the rift. And the media, like you said,
remember,
really
even Jerry kneeled.
Played on people. Yeah, he kneeled. That's
Jerry,
why I said he
Jerry
came
kneeled.
Out and did the little ceremonial thing. Yeah, and kneeled.
But you can't make everybody happy, though, because him kneeling, that pissed off some people. Him doing it, kneeling the way he did, kneel, that pissed off. You ain't gonna never make everybody happy. Colin pissed off some people, made some people happy. It was just a disaster. So you ain't gonna never
right,
appease
right.
everybody.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But yeah, I mean, just a final point, because we can't expect, you know, one person to do everything and think, you know, but that's what I'm saying. We do have to have that collective code and work with each other, because if you have the resources and the money, you can get
mm-hmm.
with some people that are maybe smarter than you in different areas and try to put some things in place. You know,
yeah.
But one person is not going to fix all of black people's problems. It's going to take a collective effort of everybody doing their little part, you know what I'm saying, with the information and resources they got. It's going to take a collective. So we can't expect, because we can say the same thing for basketball players, the NBA players getting money too. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
These brothers getting fat contracts as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we can't expect them to do everything, because, you know, it's going to take
yeah.
a collective effort.
Hey, let me shout out the brothers, too.
Yes,
let me just shout out real quick, too, the brothers. You know who I'm talking about, Brandon Marshall and them, who got that YouTube channel, I Am Athlete. Because I've been watching
yeah,
their shows
sir.
For the past couple of days. And
yes,
I really appreciate the work that them brothers are doing on their YouTube channel.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? And they bought it. They bought that action. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they care about black lives.
Now they
I ain't
seem
gonna
like
say
they close to their mind frame exactly. They seem like they more on code than a lot of
yes.
brothers in the league that I've seen. You know,
yes,
just based on
exactly.
their conversations, you know, the mate
yeah.
they show, just all it seems like they more. And they'd be willing. You see, I'm sure them brothers are doing some things, you know, behind
exactly.
the scenes where they trying to help folks out. You know what I'm saying? So
it's all about
yeah,
planting that seed.
Them brothers.
Planting
yes,
that seed, and the seed was planted. The seed was planted, and that's why I don't want
mm-hmm.
people to just not overlook. You know, the young man you talking to, plant that seed in that young man, because you don't know where that young man might go in life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm talking about from the poorest
right.
hood black kid. To the bougie black kid.
Right.
You don't know what you could be putting in his mindset to where he get to a point where he'd be like, man, I got enough to benefit my community. Let me reach out to Master P. Master, let me get about three or four
right.
of these NFL brothers. Let's put this money together to do this and try to make a difference.
Right.
You
right,
know?
Right, right.
So it's just
right.
about
that,
like
yeah,
we always say, old school, each one teach one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that takes a special type of person, especially in this day and age when you got social media and, you know, instant gratification and all this and that. It's going to take a special person to,
yeah,
you know, to go
the
about, especially with a career like football and, yeah, and all that. Yeah, it's going to take a special mug, but, you know, who knows?
You know, that's purpose. And you know that's on purpose. That's the enemy trying to keep us distracted. That's why they keep
yeah,
coming up
exactly.
with all this type of stuff.
to keep us distracted on some other stuff. But that, I'm glad you brought that up about Master P, because, you know, I talked about him about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And that man trying to get an HBCU, that's big. And he's trying to buy Reebok.
That's huge. Yeah, that's huge, because he's doing what, you know, the elders talked about, the blueprint
right.
of Black Power. He's doing that stuff.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That's Kansas to the black man, doing for self, setting up an actual institution. And it was funny because P was like, he had did the research on who actually owns these black colleges and who they was named after and whatnot. And he did his research and did his history on it. And he was like, he was shocked, because a lot of them are not only named after white people, but they're owned by white families as well, which is a travesty.
Right.
How you got a black college that's owned by others? You know what I'm saying? And it's not fully owned and controlled by black people. So P, you know, shout out to P. He's doing what he, you know, feels like he should be doing for the community. He ain't letting nobody stop him. He's not obligated to these folks. It ain't like they paying him or he need a job from them or nothing like that. He can pretty much move independently move how he want to move, you know, based on he's independent. Independent black owned.
Self-made. Black owned ain't taking no shots or no losses.
Yeah.
And, you know, he ain't scared
to
be known, and that's what he about. He ain't scared to let him be known. That's what he about. And that's how we should all be. Like, look, I ain't trying to, you know, demean y'all, but I'm saying I got to do something for my people.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Don't try to shame us like, oh, because we want to do something for our people in the black community, oh, we racist.
Right,
and
that's a
and
bad,
we're bad
thing. Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
No,
exactly.
It's not.
Yeah. That's an artifact, bro. That's an artifact. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, shout out to P for that. You know, we'll see how that go. P got things in store. P selling everything he get his hands on. And I respect
that boy got product. He still about it.
He still about it. I respect it. So, yeah, fam, if you just joined us, this is Collective Minds Radio. We doing an open discussion this week, just kind of going down the line of stuff that's been going on this week, things that's been popping. Also, Marvin Hagler made the transition at 60 years old. You know, if you're a boxing fan, you know Marvin Hagler back in the day, him, Sugar Ray Leonard, and Tommy Hearns, they used to go back and forth. And what was the Mexican brother name? But, yeah, they used to go back and forth. But Hagler was one of my favorites. He was a straight brawler. He get in there and bang with you. But shout out to that brother and his family. He made a transition at 66. Now, some people are saying he got the vaccine, and that may have caused the complications. And then they said his family came out and said, well, he died from natural causes. So I don't know. It could have been a vax. It could have been, you know, natural causes or whatnot. But in any event, you know what I mean, condolences to the family and whatnot. But yeah, fam, y'all want to hit the call lines, or y'all got some y'all want to
call? Yeah, and then I do want to ask, I sent that video of that officer and that young lady, that 31-year-old lady that got into that shootout. Did you guys see that?
I did see that. And I was watching the video, and I'm like, I'm trying to figure out where did this go wrong yet? And then I saw him. Because she was cooperating at first. You know what I mean? She was cooperating at first. I thought everything was good. It was just, you know, she had a couple bags of weed on. I'm like, okay. I'm like, where did this go wrong? I'm thinking at the whole video. And then I saw.
So with your point, where did it go wrong for you?
Oh, clearly when she was like, I didn't do nothing. You're not going to put them cuffs on me and start doing all that. It was a wrap.
Well,
you
for
know,
me, I think
day.
It went wrong. She was, I hate to say this because I'm still on her side, though. But I hate to say this, but I think it went wrong early on because she was too antsy. Because I'm like, girls, this stay put.
She's
going
antsy.
Back and forth in the car,
going
in her car, going in her purse. I'm like, I'm looking like, I'm watching her like, what you doing? You know, I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah. Yeah, she was semi-cooperating, but like you say, she was antsy. Yeah.
If she'd had one of them straight up medical cops, she would have been shot. If she'd had the right cops, she'd have been shot.
I think instead of her running around back into the car, I think she would have did better just running on around the building, just running, leaving the scene, because he wasn't going to be able to chase her. She would have did better just running away. If that's the case, if you're willing to come back and die, you might as well be willing to just run off. Because I'm like, why did you come back to the car to get in the car when you already know he going to shoot you? You might as well just run off to the side of the building and keep running.
The killer part.
She would have did better.
And the killer part is she shot first.
Yeah.
And that's why I had trouble seeing that. I kept rewinding it. I never saw the gun. I couldn't make it out.
Man. She shot her window out. Shot her window, yeah. She shot her window. And dropped the gun.
I'm going to go back and look at it because I kept looking at it like over and over. I'm like, I can't tell that she's shooting.
But she did shoot him
because they say he was shot. He said he was like, I'm shot. I'm here.
That's why he couldn't get up.
Yeah, I think she dropped her gun, too. She dropped her gun. I think that was her gun that dropped. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what the man said. She threw her gun out in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
So first, what you think about running, then you shot the cop like if she had to live. Girl, you know how much time you could have used?
Right.
Right. When you could have just went for that little bag.
That's a
chip
to murder on a police officer. You getting 20 years.
Yeah,
like,
that's the thing.
What was for a little bag of dope?
She should have been like, okay, you got it. Unless you're just willing to go out, you just ready to die? Like, no, just let them put the cuffs on you and whatever.
I don't get it. It's like the way she was behaving, though, it was something else.
Like, it was something much more than just what she
had. Yeah,
it
might have been something more. Right. Maybe she was home. Yeah, and that could have been it.
Yeah, she could have been just annoyed. She could have been annoyed. You're right. She could have had. Ain't no telling what she had in, you know, there. So she could have been annoyed.
She
might have used.
People might not know what we're talking about. Because I just realized that we could just be talking. Yeah, but no, we could just explain that this was a video that was posted recently of a woman. I want to say this was on Willie D's page. If you're familiar with Willie D, I think it might have been on his page, his Instagram. But he showed a video of a young woman who had a situation with an officer. Long story short, she ended up shooting at the officer. He shot back, and she drove, sped away, and then crashed later on down the road. But it was an interesting video, like we said. It started off where she was kind of cooperating a little bit. Yeah, she was a little antsy. She wasn't following directions immediately. She was waiting to move around.
Right.
She was a little fidgety. So there may have been something there. She was on the phone. She asked for cigarettes and a lighter and all this and that. It was just a lot going on. But she tried to get back in the car when the officer, he was about to put the cuffs on. He had found like two bags of weed that she had admitted to or whatnot. And he went to put the cuffs on, and she like, no, I ain't going to jail. You're not putting them cuffs on me. What did I do? Oh, man. And then it just went all bad from there. It went all bad.
Yeah, because once he pulled over and he saw that the guy wasn't in there, what was the other issue?
Right.
Because he said, yeah, I see that he's not in here, but now I want to address the other issue. I wanted to know what was the other issue because I'm like, at this point, you say you pulled her over because you thought this guy was in there, but you don't see him in there, so let her go. What's the other issue? You didn't know that she had stuff in her bag, so you had to search her for that.
Right.
So what was the other issue?
Other than him
just probably mad because he associated her with the criminal that name was on the car. So he, you know, they lump them all. They like, shoot, well, if you hanging with him you in the car, you probably like him too. Yeah, let me see what I can get on you. I think the officer had a prejudice mentality. A stereotype.
Yeah, I'm sure of that, but I think I want to say, I think so, yeah. That too, I'm not going to argue that. But I think he was going to put them cuffs on and finish searching that car. That's
exactly
where my mind was kind of going. And there was probably
something
in there
that
maybe
she
knew about or whatnot.
The way exactly.
She
wasn't
smooth enough. Like you say, she didn't lead a car. You know, she had the option to run, just around the building or something, but I think it might have been some in the car. He was about to put them cuffs on the car, back up, and search that car.
And she
was like, nah. That was bad all the way around. We didn't kind of
all
went
I can
on
say,
family.
If it was me, I would have been in cuffs at the station calling one of y'all to, you know, come buy me out. That's all I'm saying.
That's a fact. Right.
That's all I'm going to say.
I'm going to live to fight another day. You ain't about to take me out.
Especially over that.
In the road. Over that, no.
Especially over that.
No.
All right, we're going to get to the call. Every code 314-381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment, caller. How you doing today?
Man, it's time to go to the park.
Oh, which park?
Forest Park. Have a barbecue or something. You guys been running off at the Bluetooth.
We got a little carried away today. Yes, we did.
Sorry about that. Sorry.
I had to make up from last week because I was so quiet last week. So I had to make up.
Yeah, remember he fell asleep.
Oh yeah,
I did not
snoring.
Fall
right.
I did not fall asleep.
Snoring.
Don't believe it.
We have you on tape snoring.
Bianca, you did not hear me snoring.
I heard
something.
I didn't know what it was.
That's what I'm saying,
Piagi. Don't believe that. That was not snoring. Don't believe it.
Look, on the George Floyd Chauvin trial, George Floyd was claiming he couldn't breathe when they walked into the car. So I understand that's on tape. I can't breathe. And they associate that with the drugs. Well, here's the thing. What the officer done was permitted by the police department, that technique. Remember, we talked about that. Minneapolis and some other cities, of course, some cities had banned it. But what he done was permitted as a technique for restraining by the police department. Now, here's the thing. What does the rule say?
Right, and therein lies the problem. That's the problem right there.
Yeah, what does the rule say? Do it say you're supposed to stay on him a minute or 2 minutes or to the officer feel that whatever? I don't know.
It says you're not supposed to kill nobody.
Well,
people
have died from that. You know, there's a video of a white man in that same position at another department someplace. And he died.
Yeah,
we just got to keep it real. If the man is handcuffed, you're on his neck, he's screaming and saying he can't, like, come on now. No amount
well,
of
what,
rules.
He didn't go and get
in
the car.
Not. This, huh?
No. If,
what come
if you don't ask
get in the car?
The question should be why is he on this man's neck? Why he handcuffed for 8 minutes?
Exactly.
Well,
why
he
should beat him
because
in the car?
Because he came out the car, and then they pushed him to the ground.
Right. So
okay.
That's the other problem. Yeah, you pointing out the other
problem. Yeah. See, one of the big problems, and I hate to see anybody get hurt like that, is compliance. Just like you talked about with this lady. Just comply.
Right. Just
comply. Did you see that video?
Yeah, but he
No.
Okay.
So, yeah, so you just got to comply. There's a lot of them out there where they don't comply for whatever reason. They're in Bell Fountain on Airport Road and Bell Fountain Road at that store. Remember the man didn't comply? He snatched away from the police officer, and walked 20 feet, turned around, shot both of them. Lucky they had their armor on. Then he ran a block or two and barricade yourself in the house.
Hmm.
So anyway.
Right. Yes, sir. Well,
and you know, you talk about these players doing something for the community. What they gonna do? They're gonna be just like anybody else. Investor, they're gonna invest their money. Hopefully, they invest it wisely.
Right.
I see where Steve Harvey has purchased land over in Zambia, in Central Africa. So
Zambia, yeah.
They're doing things for what they want to do. You can't expect them to go do with their money, but it's not safe. It's not prosperous.
A person that's buying
a school, the problem with the schools is that young people coming into the schools are not prepared, and therefore they don't do as well as you would hope they do. But anyway, I'm gonna let you guys get to the next quarter.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate the
call.
I would like to say we should just do a show on what things we would do. If we had $200+ million, what would we invest in? Because there's some things I want to touch on, but I know we ain't got time because we're getting late in the game.
I know.
All right. Yes,
sorry
indeed.
About that, listeners. We're going to make it plain. We're going to try to get to as many as we can. We just got a few minutes, so we're going to make it plain. Either one comment or one question. Area code 319-572. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment.
I got a couple comments since y'all was all over today.
One comment. I know. We'll have open discussion, Colin. Just hit us with one for this week.
Okay. Meghan Markle, you knew that baby going to come out white.
Right.
She white. I'm mixed, and I'm saying she white.
She knew
that
baby's
right. Okay.
And, but I'm going to answer that last question that you guys just asked. I had that kind of money. I'd invest in real estate and land.
Right.
Okay.
I'm with that, Carla.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yep, I'm with that. That was good. Okay, area code 315-767. Calling you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Hey there, y'all.
Bonjour.
Talking to y'all today out of Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, okay. Let's get it. Yes, sir.
Yesterday, my feelings got hurt. The COVID ruined my day. I went down to Atlanta. I was down in Atlanta, and I went to Tyler Perry's studio. Finally got the opportunity to go there and get the tour, but it was closed for COVID.
Oh, dang.
Just hurt my feelings. Got up there and the people said, "No, we had to close last week for this new COVID threat that the Atlanta Democrats are putting them orders in. They're trying to hype it up because Texas opened their stuff up, so Atlanta doubled down on that.
Right.
They closed all the downtown. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Did
they say when it's going to open back up? They said it's going to happen
again.
Did
they give a time on when it's going to open back up?
Nope, they don't know because Texas and Mississippi said we're done with this nonsense. A lot of these Democratic-run states are like, let's double down on dumb and destroy our economies.
Oh, dang. Terrible.
Anyway,
I just
wanted to make that comment on the Tyler Perry Studios and Atlanta shutting down because.
Yeah.
Right.
I heard about that. Thanks.
All right, peace.
Yeah, see me. Thanks.
Peace,
thank
right
you.
On.
Yeah, I did. I heard about Atlanta too. Oh, okay. Before I go
the
say anything else, yeah. Area code 609. I'm sorry, this happened to be the last caller, but we do appreciate you. Area code 609-310. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Comment. How y'all doing?
Hey, Colin, give me a point.
When it comes to like being in the NFL and the NBA and stuff like that, You'd be surprised that a lot of them kids do give back to the community, but like you said, they're not really recognized, so you don't hear about it, or you don't
see it.
You don't see it. But they come around. I think you're gonna get a day that they can put their heads together and do something. You know, they can be good and positive. I think they'll come together. You know, sometimes you young, you and that thing. These like you said, these kids, they 21, 22,
yeah, they young, exactly.
In a year, man. Come on now, they trying to soak up that fame right now. And the fortune.
Right, exactly.
Now, if you came into $50 million tomorrow, your attitude, I'm not going to say it's going to change for the worse, but it's going to change.
Right.
In some form. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
And then
if I was 20, 21 years old.
Exactly. You was 20, 21, 19 coming into that money. Even 25, you get that money,
But
now, we more mature, so we might think different, but who knows what I would have been doing at 20 with 25 mil, you know what I'm saying, 100 mil, like, come on,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying, so we just got to keep it real.
Yeah, but I do applaud them, and I think they deserve it, because you notice that maybe the first 2 years they be in the league and stuff, they may not know these things, like you said. They grooming them because they learning too. They coming, some of them, like you said, coming straight out of high school. Some of them coming straight out of college, and they still got to learn that next level of what the business.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a business. That's like now you working a job.
Yeah, that's
now.
Professional.
Because at first you was in college paying for the not paying for, because a lot of them got scholarships, but you wasn't doing a job.
Yeah,
now you're really doing a job. This is a job. You don't want to lose your job doing crazy stuff. You got to stay within the contract, period.
Right, that's professional, right. Yeah, that's part of being a quote-unquote professional. But you're right in the exact column. That's true. Mugs do be doing things, and like I say, we can't expect everybody to do everything or one person to do everything. You know, Mud's doing, like I say, what they can with the knowledge and resources they got. And hopefully it'll come around with Mud's, because black people got money. Start to get to a point where we got money, we just got to put it and work together and not be ashamed to be like, no, we want this for black people. You know, we want to help black people and not be ashamed to say that, because every other group does that. They might not say it explicitly like that, but every group looks out for themselves. But when black people do it, it's like, oh, now y'all being racist and it's not. But no, every group does this. You know what I'm saying? Every group does this. The Asians, the Italians, the Irish, you name it, they work together and help each other out. So, you know, it is what it is. You just got to be able to stand on it and let them know what it is. Like, you know, so... Yeah, right on, Carl. Appreciate you, Carl. We're going to get ready to wrap it up. Yes, indeed. Appreciate you. Now, just real quick before we get off, because this is the quarterly update of, you know, the yearly quarterly update of homicides in the city of St. Louis. Right now, 2021, March 14th, according to the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department.org website, there have been 36 homicides in the city of St. Louis. 36 homicides. Actually, this one is dated March 12th, so it's a couple of days behind. I think that's from Friday. So that's 36 murders. So that's on pace to maybe about 150-something, 160 murders per year if it continues at this pace. Last year, 2020, there were 262 homicides, which is the largest increase in nearly 4 to 5 years, probably be longer than that. But 262 was last year. This year we had 36, and we on pace for about 150, 160 if it continues at this pace. So we may be less than last year. I don't know. We'll see. And again, this is just the St. Louis property. We're not counting the
county. I need to throw this out there because I know you said that's just for St. Louis City, right?
Right.
Now, North County is the St. Louis City. I don't care what they say.
Right, right, right.
So you
I
might
hear
as well.
What saying, yeah.
you might as well, because I'm saying that because I know it's more than 36. Because it goes
right.
down in North County.
You include the county. Right.
In North County. North County is the city all day. I don't care what the what nobody else say. I don't care what the maps say. I don't care nothing about none of that. North mm-hmm. County is St. Louis City.
Now wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. Now wait a minute. Now some of us,
I don't care what
some of us live
say.
On streets.
North County is St.
Some
Louis
of us live
City.
On streets like Relaxing Ave and Pleasant Lane and stuff like that. I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm just
okay.
saying. Look away manner. I'm just saying. That's all.
Okay. All right. Okay. Maybe I was too exaggerated. Okay. Okay.
But
no,
we get what you're saying. But yeah, if you include the county, and my next updates, I'm gonna go and start including the county, so we can get a different perspective. You know, include
because part of
the
county North County that I'm talking about where the murders are happening is not on Living Land Road and Loving Memories and none of that old street.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, I'm going to say my little piece right on, family, for joining us. This is Cosmic Kev. And, yeah, we'll see y'all next week. I'm going to let y'all wrap it up.
Yeah.
Brother Mufasa.
I'm going to make it plain, too. Hey, appreciate the callers. Thanks for listening to us ramble on for an hour. We appreciate y'all listening to us and giving us y'all input. And, you know, I'll say again, continue to reach one, teach one. Plant seeds in the young baby's mind, the young children's mind. Drop that seed, teaching
right.
knowledge itself, teaching to be happy and be proud of their heritage, their people, and teaching them to want to
That's
do
right.
something for their community.
Right. That's the artifact.
Yeah. Yeah. Teach them inclusivity so they can include. It ain't just like someone mentioned earlier, I, me. You know, include others. I think we mentioned that last week. I think Mufasa might have been resting. But I think we mentioned that last week. I think we mentioned that last week on the show. How it's good to, you know, include others. So, yes, I'm all the way down for teaching our youth and just teaching yourself. Just always be a student, you know, be willing to learn. Know you don't know it all and just be willing to learn. And be willing to give back. Be willing to give.
That's a fact.
Let something go to get something back. You know, so we want to thank you guys for supporting us and tuning in with us on Sundays. We want you to continue to tune in with us, like always, any show topic ideas. And we really want you guys to be more of a participant when it comes to the show topic ideas. We really like to hear from you. So if you have any ideas, please send us an email at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. You can find us on Facebook, find us on YouTube, find us on Twitter, and we look forward to seeing you again next week.
Peace.
Stand on your square, we on the earn, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking. Okay.